Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the X1 Bros. This is your positive gaming and Xbox community. And the earth has shook today. It got shook. It done shook to the gaming world.
The FTC cried.
Has been shaken. Although, did you see Microsoft is being charged as of yesterday $28 billion in back taxes? Do you think that's a coincidence?
No, I think someone's mad they got embarrassed.
Yeah, and Microsoft came out and was like, yeah, this is wrong. We'll be fighting this.
All right, guys. All right, here we go again. That's round two.
Theory. That's an awful big coincidence. But anyways, Activision Blizzard, it completed today. And before the show, just to get inspiration, we watched it. Jordan and I had watched it earlier, but Spicy watched the trailer for the first time.
Yeah, they came out with a basically We Are Together
the
trailer.
The Activision Blizzard trailer.
It's really good.
And it gives me goosebumps, dude. It's really well done. Spicy.
Yeah, it is.
Spicy. You just experienced it raw.
No, they did an excellent job. It's very, very good. It's a trailer of all games Xbox and all games Activision, and it's like, we're friends. We love each other. Here we are. Well, let's play together. It's a good day to play.
It made you excited to play games.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah.
And also, I don't think this is a coincidence.
Yeah, go ahead.
They put, in this trailer, they put a clip of the Brood War expansion cinematic. That game is from 1997, 8, right? You know, somewhere in that region.
Yeah.
Back then, you know, maybe it's coming to Xbox. They put it on Nintendo.
They did.
They could put it on Xbox.
They put it on the Nintendo 64. That's right. You could not play that game without the extra cartridge.
I actually, the first time I ever played StarCraft was in Nevada on an N64. And yeah.
Wow.
It wasn't, you know.
It was good enough for the people I roll with.
Yeah.
It ran about 7 FPS. Yeah.
Especially like once you got all those photon cannons and stuff. Yeah. And the
last level took like 4 hours. Yeah. On a computer, it would take 30 minutes.
Yeah, right. We just saw it, and it's just a quick clip. But no, I'm curious what their I don't think anything's going to change like immediately, right? But I'm wondering what their first moves are with all of this.
I think we go old school Call of Duty games as like remastered, because over the summer they had fired up the 360 servers.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I saw that. Perhaps it's in preparation of this. I think in the next couple weeks we get old Activision games. I think we get Spyros. Also, I think we get World of Warcraft on the console, everybody. I think that happens. I don't know. I don't think we're going to get it, but I think by the end of the year we have an announcement for it.
Yeah, I think it. I think it would be a smart move by them. Excuse me. I don't think it's impossible. So if they give us it's a tech. It's, you know, it's, we can't. What's the excuse they always give?
We can't do it
due to technical capabilities. Oh, yeah.
Due to technical.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't, yeah.
No, it's coming.
Yeah,
It's going to come to console. Elder Scrolls, Final Fantasy, it's the only big of the top three. It's the only one that's not, Black Desert Online's there, it's the only one that's not on consoles.
The problem with World of Warcraft is there's some issues before you put it on console. I think we've talked about it a little bit. And people mention it too, like World of Warcraft right now is very dependent on add-ons.
Yeah, okay, here's the thing though. There's two separate games with World of Warcraft. There's vanilla.
Also very dependent on add-ons.
It is
100%.
Is
it? It's almost more dependent on add-ons.
Oh, really? Yeah. Really? I didn't realize that.
And I feel...
I thought maybe they'd go vanilla first on console.
And I feel, and this is just me, I feel that Blizzard develops around add-ons. I think at this point they have to. Yeah,
you've mentioned that before.
Yeah, and I think that in itself causes issues with the games. If it were up to me, and this may be the unpopular opinion, I really do think you need to pull back. I think you need to have a Final Fantasy 14 approach where no third-party add-ons, at least combat ones. Like basically, for example, like here's add-ons. You're in a raid, and just to give you like loose examples, a boss is going to do an ability, so the game tells you where to go and how to do it. You know, at a certain point, it's like, well, am I playing the game, or am I just listening to something tell me how to play the game?
Yeah.
And I think that... I mean,
it's not the game that tells it, it's the add-on that
tells you. Yeah, you go into a huge rabbit hole because then you're like, okay, well, if you don't have add-ons, then they got to telegraph better, which I agree they should, you know, and then you got to do the whole thing. Okay, we'll just not put a purple ability on the purple floor. Then you got to talk to the art department so they're not just putting random colors. I mean, Mark, when Mark played with us for the first time, how many times were you stuck in something because it was literally a red ability on a red floor?
Oh,
and you're just like, what's going on? It's
more
just,
than that. There's so much that happens while you play that game that's knowledge is important in a lot of fights, but you can't see half the stuff that's happening because of the design of what you're looking at. Like, you just can't. Sorry, guys. Purple ability. Didn't know that was there at the time.
You can turn stuff down, but purple floor, purple ability. I mean, you're just not going to get past that. Like, that's, you know. That's,
I just couldn't see so, it. I straight up couldn't see it.
I think there's a handful of issues that World of Warcraft does need to address, especially going forward. I think just to, as a whole, to make it a better game. I mean, I think they've done a really good, and I think for the majority, a lot of people are happy with the latest expansion. I think it's fun. It's kind of a step in a direction I'd like to see it to go. Yep. But I still think there's a lot of work. But going to console, I think it's possible. I don't think it's a control issue or anything like that. I think it's 100% possible because every other MMO does it, and there's two or three MMOs that do it that I can think of that are playable on controller that have just as many abilities. I think the issue is if you want to play Warcraft at a very high level, you cannot do that without add-ons, and I think that's actually a hindrance to the game, not a benefit.
I think, actually, so OCTX Trucker, sorry, in chat says, I'm ready to see what they predict are the first games to hit Game Pass from Activision Blizzard acquisition, and rewatching this trailer now, it's just replaying here. If you guys are watching the video live, if you're listening, this trailer is replaying. I noticed they show a lot, multiple scenes of Crash Bandicoot. I think that's the first game coming to Game Pass.
Well, didn't they just release a new Crash last year?
Yeah, I think that's the first game. Yeah. So really, Blizzard came out last week, or no, it was earlier this week. It was earlier this week, and they made a statement on Twitter about Game Pass, which is super rare. That account really doesn't make those kind of statements. And it said, our recently released titles and Call of Duty and Diablo 4 will not be on Game Pass yet. Yeah.
That's basically what they said.
Until next year, essentially.
Yeah.
But recently released. So everything else is free game. So I think Crash Bandicoot, look how many times in this trailer, there's one. They show it like three or four times, Crash Bandicoot. They show Call of Duty a lot, obviously, but there's a whole library of Call of Duty games you could go to.
I wonder why not, by the way. Like, why not put Diablo 4 on Game Pass? Especially with the release of Season 2 coming out.
Diablo
is already released.
Diablo 4, because I think you already have, they're huge titles, and you already have probably different contracts and deals in place on other systems.
Now, here's the question. I think this would be great just because it benefits my wallet, but throwing the Warcraft subscription as a part of Game Pass. Now, that's interesting because I think you can argue both ways of keeping it a subscription or putting it on Game Pass, but I mean, do you think it would happen? Do you think
for World of Warcraft?
World of Warcraft. So World of Warcraft is a subscription-based game, right? Which you could also argue is a barrier to entry for a lot of people.
I think you get something like, you get some sort of free trial to it. I don't think
there's already a free trial.
I don't think you get your subscription. I think you get some sort of, you get something if you have Game Pass, but you don't get a free subscription.
I bet you get the base game. And I bet they do the Destiny style. You get everything up until the current release of whatever expansion.
Yeah, that would make sense.
And in order to play that, you need to spend money.
Well, because I'm just, because
that's what I would expect it to do.
I don't know. Do you think it would be worth it for them, though?
No, their entire model is subscription.
Yeah, but then how many people don't play World of Warcraft because of the subscription? That's what I'm saying. If it's on Game Pass, how many people would you open up to World of Warcraft? And vice versa, how many of World of Warcraft players would you open up to Game Pass? You know
how is,
I mean?
How is Final Fantasy doing their model?
It's a subscription. Yeah, but they have like a $12.99 and a $14.99.
Yeah, but they're keeping it when it drops on Xbox. You just get to play up to...
Oh, you play up to, I believe it's Stormblood.
And that's going to be... And then you pay for a subscription.
And then you have to pay for... It might even be Shadowbringers, but then you have to pay for certain expansions. The whole game. It's definitely not the latest expansion, but I know they just announced which one they're letting you go up to. It used to be Stormblood. I don't know for sure, but I think you can go up to Shadowbringers now, and then after that is the current expansion, Endwalker.
Yeah.
And then we have the new one, Dawn Trail, next year.
And what about ESO? Because that's technically on Game Pass. How is that handled? they maintain their subscription as well.
They are a you can subscribe or you don't have to, because remember, their subscription is just a premium service.
Mm. Okay. Yeah, I think it stays. I do. Nerdy Nate is here in the house. Is just dropping in real quick. Catch the show later. Happy days for sure. Let's go Microsoft. Thank you, Nerdy Nate. From downtown is here in the house. Annie Young is here. JW is here. Excited to be live again. Darv, Soulfinder, everybody who's joined us live. Chandler as well.
Is BlizzCon going to be at the Microsoft Theater?
Yeah, from downtown says BlizzCon going to be big this year.
Yeah.
Maybe. Oh, well, no, it's not going to be at the Microsoft Theater, I don't think.
But maybe in the future.
Maybe, yeah.
But here's the thing. So we used to go to E3. We're an Xbox podcast. Maybe now we go to BlizzCon.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
After you see the ticket prices, you'll probably disagree, David.
Yeah.
Those are expensive prices.
Yeah. Way more expensive than E3?
It's, yeah.
What was it, like $350 or something?
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's not bad. I'll go. When is now, it?
Here's the thing. Do you think BlizzCon will, I don't know, because this deal is just closing now, and BlizzCon's probably, I mean, when you prepare for these kind of things, you prepare way in advance, right?
Yeah, but this deal has taken 2 years, a year and a half to go through, so they're
probably, I don't know, have something prepared. I think, and this is just me, I mean, I'd love to see some cool stuff, right? But BlizzCon is mostly about Blizzard games, so I don't think we're going to get any, like, crazy Microsoft announcements.
It's going to focus on Blizzard and Blizzard games, but we will get some. Oh, and by the way, now on Game Pass.
Nah, like, I don't know. I think it might be like.
You're wrong.
I think it might be the Final Fantasy Fan Fest, where like Phil Spencer has like a little piece, and then
we'll learn about some Game Pass stuff at BlizzCon for sure. Chandler in chat says Xbox Now has top three games in practically every genre on Game Pass: Starfield, RPG, Call of Duty, first-person shooter, World of Warcraft and ESO, MMO, Flight Simulator, standalone, Age of Empires, RTS, of Star. You're about to get StarCraft.
As of today, you have StarCraft.
Yeah.
And they showed the Brood War cinematic.
Yeah, great point.
Great
though,
cinematic,
yeah.
By the way. I love that where they're smoking and they're like, you've seen dissected Zerg in a lab, never unleashed on man.
Hell, it's about time.
They even showed that clip right there.
This is the beginning of the Xbox domination generation. Xbox just became Netflix for gaming on steroids.
Netflix.
Netflix.
Nutflex. They just became Nutflex.
Flexed it. No, but in all reality, it's going to be interesting now. There's a reason this day, and watching this trailer, you're like, wow, no wonder Sony decided to oppose this. What does Sony do next? Is this Sony's worst nightmare? Spicy.
Sony's worst nightmare?
Yeah.
Would probably be a bad economy. That's what I would say.
Which we're in?
Yeah. That's true.
And you combine that with your competition.
Yeah.
Becoming the third largest gaming company on the planet.
That are doing things that they aren't doing and that succeeding.
The thing is, though, it's doing things that, in the same way that Sony developed these super high-end IPs and started rolling, that takes years to set up and success leads to more success with that. This is the same way. Having a catalog of games on a subscription service does not just happen overnight. And if you remember when Game Pass was first announced, everyone, this is unsustainable. This is stupid. Microsoft's stupid. Microsoft should just get out of the console game. They should just stop it. This is dumb. It's never going to work. How is this going to be sustainable? Fast forward a few years. Oh shit. Oh shit, well, we're screwed.
Sony still makes great games, and I think that's the biggest benefit.
Well, and they're Spider-Man coming out in a few days.
And they're in the top three gaming companies as well. So
no, that's the thing. Like, good games sell. So consoles sell everything. So I mean, they're just choosing different, you know, there are different strategies here. But I feel like
One is very quickly scalable.
Yeah. It's
that's the scary part.
I think I saw an article that in 2030, Xbox is expected to have 110 million subscribers.
Ooh.
By 2030. I think it was it was over 100 million. So, which that's what they're predicting that's a lot of subscribers. And by then, it'll increase its price by like $10.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money they're making per month.
So I'm
that's scalable right there.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about how the Bethesda deal went down. And I guess it makes sense because what that tweet say that the Blizzard games won't be on Game Pass till like next year. Yeah. That's kind of what they're alluding to, paraphrasing. Right?
I'll grab it so we have it.
That kind of follows the same timeline as Bethesda, because remember Bethesda, they bought them and there was kind of a quiet period, and then all of a sudden we just got like Doom, all these games just started getting thrown on Game Pass.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, next year is only 2 months away. You know?
That's a very valid point.
So.
Good math there.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Q1 is a couple months away.
Yeah, you gotta release that, yeah.
Here's the tweet from Activision Blizzard. It's awesome to see, and this was on the 9th, so earlier this week. It's awesome to see anticipation building for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 as we continue to work toward regulatory approval of the Microsoft deal. We've been getting some questions whether our upcoming and recently launched games will be available via Game Pass. While we do not have plans to put Modern Warfare 3 or Diablo 4 into Game Pass this year, once the deal closes, we expect to start working with Xbox to bring our titles to more players around the world, and we anticipate that we would begin adding games into Game Pass in the course of next year. Sometime in the course of next year.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's earth shattering. Honestly, this is the biggest shift in gaming since we've been doing this.
Yeah, we've been doing this for a decade.
For a decade, baby.
Didn't all the Bethesda games come to Game Pass like a month before they finalized the deal? Did they?
That's actually a really good question.
I mean, they always had a really close relationship.
Yeah, they did. Okay, maybe I'm wrong.
Bethesda, anyways.
Well, everybody they acquire, all their games come to Game Pass. Like,
yeah, so,
Tim Schafer's stuff, you know, all of his...
That's right, yeah.
Day of the Tentacle came and...
Okay, so I'm predicting Crash Bandicoot, first game from Activision. Jordan. Give me one.
I think there's a lot of people excited to see what they do with World of Warcraft. Not like gameplay wise I think that's that or StarCraft is one of their first big announcements.
Okay, that's an announcement. What's the first one do you think to come? Like those first two. You think those are going to come first?
Yes.
You're crazy. You're crazy. You're a crazy person. No, those are going to be huge announcements. I agree.
Yeah.
But
I think the Lost Vikings.
Yeah.
Isn't that already on? Did they come up with the Blizzard collection?
I think there is a Blizzard collection.
Yeah, and Lost Vikings is in it.
Never mind.
Remastered Lost Vikings Reforged.
Reforged.
I'll tell you what else is going to be a big thing. Since talking with Microsoft, there has been talks since this acquisition. This week, talks came up. Guitar Hero.
I saw that, yeah.
Revivification.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I wonder...
Sometimes I think about Guitar Hero, and I think to myself, damn, that was fun.
I think...
Yeah, it was good.
Guitar
Hero 3 was like the... When you play against the rock gods.
The pinnacle.
Tom Morello slash, you're going head-to-head against those guys. Oh,
yeah, the pinnacle. That was the pinnacle. You
felt like a badass.
Like, whenever any of those songs come on that you mastered in Guitar Hero, you go back to hitting those colored buttons. In your mind. You're like, yeah, I could used to be able to do this. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good era. And then what killed it? Was it just licensing?
Well, I think...
licensing.
I don't know, but I think...
Everyone caught up and was like, oh, you guys are making millions off this. I want more money.
Yeah.
Well, no. Do you think it's also peripherals? Like, if you're buying a $70 game and then you got to buy another, you know, like, because you got to buy all the peripherals
Jordan,
for that.
The last month, we've been talking about $1500...
Sims.
Yes.
No, I know, but like
that market's thriving.
Yeah. That's what
I've been
researching.
Yeah,
I have been a Thrustmaster, Jordan, that I hardly ever use now.
No, but is it like at that price point?
Music. The music.
Yeah, okay.
Because think about the music in Guitar Hero 3
and Rock Band. Yeah. Rock Band had some good ones on there.
Height. And then. It became unsustainable, the licensing fees. It's why EA went away from... EA doesn't need a FIFA license. Let's call it Football Club 2024.
Yeah, that is...
Reptilia? Oh, man, playing that. I still have memories of playing that song. Oh, so good.
Barracuda?
Ah, that was a heart. Yeah, that was on there. Yeah. Especially.
What was the last one? Dragon Force? What was that one?
Through the Fire and the Flames.
Through the Fire and Flames. Like,
that was like big. It was like, I think it was in a. Yeah, that was because that, yeah.
I still sometimes go down that rabbit hole of watching those world record videos.
Dude.
Half of them were all.
Do you still have like your Rock Band set and stuff or? I think I have one of the guitars from Guitar Hero.
All I know is I went through like 15 different pedals on the drums because couldn't handle these thunder thighs.
Ah, what a big day.
That's cool though. Do you think we'll, I mean, there are talks, but do you think we're going to get that? The problem is with games like that, really, the entity of licensing with record labels and stuff like that is an absolute nightmare.
If you're Microsoft, just buy out a record label.
Yeah.
Just for gaming.
Diversify, buy a record company.
buy an entire label.
Would you want that now? Couldn't
Sony do it, though?
Well, you're probably at an all-time low for labels because of how...
It's a good time to buy. It's a buyer's market.
It's a buyer's market for record labels right now. Yeah.
Isn't Sony a music label?
Yeah.
Wait, are they a music label or do they just have a music service?
Actually,
no, I'm pretty sure they own tons of music.
Yeah. Sony owns everything. That's the thing. They're trying to block something because they're still bigger than Microsoft.
Yeah, they do own a lot.
And this, on this side of the river, I guess you could call it.
Like Sony owns Columbia, which is a movie studio.
It's also a record label.
Oh, is Columbia a record label?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, it's a movie. It's the label.
Have you heard of
thing.
Sony Music Entertainment? Okay. All right. Columbia Records, RCA Records, Epic Records, Arista Records, Legacy Recordings, Sony Music Latin. I actually didn't know they had. Sony Masterworks, Provident Label Group, and Sony Classical, as well as a lot of others.
So that's literally just their music.
Yeah.
And then they have the TV department.
Aren't they the ones who invented department. The DVD?
Blu-ray, right?
Blu-ray. I don't know who did.
Oh, DVD. No, they did invent. They well, they inve- I know they invented a disc-based gaming system, which was the PlayStation.
What did they? I mean, at one point I knew all this, but now I'm old and I'm very focused in my career and not. I don't remember any of this stuff. But I'm pretty sure they were a big part of building like CDs.
Well, yeah, because they made the PlayStation, which was the ran on CDs.
And they made the epic, like, 60-second lead time Discman that you could go running with.
Yeah, that was shake-proof.
The shake-proof, yeah.
Wow. But even before that, too,
that had like
the Sony tape Walkmans were always the best. Yeah, they were the best.
Little puffy headphones?
Yeah, always the best.
They were the shiz.
Yeah. Damn.
Now look at them.
Yeah, look at them.
Number one in the video game world.
Yeah, but look at that industry, though. Then this is what happens. You got to be very careful. Innovation will destroy your entire... They owned the mobile music space, Sony. Now who owns it?
Apple. Microsoft took a swing at it.
By the way...
the Zune? Yeah.
By the way, I learned that...
That was a good one.
I learned...
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, it worked. It was good. I liked their library
system. Their device
system.
Actually it was better, the device itself. Yeah.
It was, but
you just
can't, like, you can't mess with Steve Jobs.
Just
man.
At that point, you just could not compete.
The turtleneck shirt, you can't mess with that.
He saw Zune come in, and he was like, "Have you guys destroy you?
Have you guys ever went back? Because I actually did this like a month ago. Have you ever went back and watched the keynote address of the original iPhone?
Yeah, in the little room.
Yeah, well, and he's talking, but you know what's crazy? Like how they demoed calling and texting. You know what's crazy? Like. You take all that for granted because it's just natural now. Yeah. But like when that came out, how groundbreaking and crazy that was.
It was huge. It was huge.
Like how insane. Like when he demoed the text message and just send on iMessage and like the crowd was like, it was like they were, it's like the day we put the man on the moon. Like it was like, everybody was like,
what's so crazy about that? When he came in to Apple, have you seen the keynote where he had Bill Gates. And
when they needed a word or Microsoft.
Yeah. Microsoft Office to it and people booed.
And he basically called them idiots. Like, you guys are stupid.
Yeah. And it was basically they needed Microsoft to survive because they were at a point where they were like crumbling. And that keynote is phenomenal to watch. And Steve Jobs gets pissed. Actually, some of the best things is when Steve Jobs is pissed yelling back at the crowd.
But it, yeah. Well, even like the one, that, it was so, like, he scrolled through photos. He's like, yeah, I just wanted to be able to scroll through. And he, like, doing that with his, like, the crowd. And it's the actually thing is, to, though, it's fun to look back, like, man, that was crazy.
The move, they, I don't know if they invented it, but they definitely popularized it. Like the
movies?
No, like the pinch.
Life?
No, the pinch to zoom, zoom in, zoom out, move around.
Oh, yeah, all your finger
and
commands.
And what I never realized, it was always better. I never realized how, like,
intuitive
that is until I gave my phone to my 2-year-old who had never touched a phone before and was like,
doing it exactly. Well, they like, built it for kids. They built that. That's,
yeah.
That's what's fascinating. It's funny to see, like, the predictions of the Apple phone, like the original one, and seeing people like, oh, it's not going to survive in the executive world. It doesn't, like, have a keyboard.
It can't beat Palm Pilots.
Yeah, it can't beat BlackBerry. BlackBerry was the king.
During that keynote, he pulls out a BlackBerry and he talks about, like, this is good, but this is, and then he talks about, like, why the iPhones, but it's just better. Like, it's, yeah.
Well, I remember the first time I saw an iPod.
Palm Pilots.
Right? The first time I saw an iPod. I was blown away. I was like, wait, you don't need CDs? Your entire music collection is on that device?
I mean, I understand. They were the first one to make it work well because this is past the time of Napster.
The scroll wheel.
Because remember, Napster was...
Yeah, you could have it on your computer, but then you would burn it to a CD anyway.
Yeah, MP3s. Well, and then you would have MP3 CDs.
Yeah.
Where you could put on like 100 songs versus 18, right? So that was the big thing was... Excuse me, the MP3s working without stupid transfers and stuff like that that you had to figure out, and you couldn't, the interface was on all the other crap that was out there. The iPod made it work well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blown away.
So during that same keynote, during the keynote, he's talking about, okay, we're coming out with a new phone, and that was the big thing. Oh, they're coming out with a phone, and he says we're coming out with a new iPod, and then we're coming out with a web device, right? And he's talking about all these three different things, and then he goes, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, it's all one device, and like the crowd flipped out, and that's what he, like it was. It's actually seriously one of the best keynotes I've ever seen.
Almost as much as when Apple announced that they were going I pay with Whole Foods.
Yeah.
That was like holy shit!
I can get my overpriced vegetables now from my phone.
Well, it's so funny because they were all like, Amazon has it, and all these huge power players.
Walmart, Target, Best Buy,
and then Whole Foods. Frost being thrown on stage.
People fainting. Let's talk. So that's Activision Blizzard. Now, last week I had played Forza Motorsport. You guys hadn't really dove into it yet. So let's follow up on Forza Motorsport. It's out for everyone now this week. Let's start with Jordan the Man. Give me your first impressions, reviews, Forza Motorsport. Agree with my first impressions last week. Where are you at with it so far?
I it's really good. I mean, when's the last time we had a Forza? 7 years is what we... Yeah. No, it's really fun. It's a great racing game. I only use a wheel and pedals.
Yeah, you're going wheel, baby.
Yeah, I built myself a $7 wheel.
Good job.
Cockpit.
Yeah. He did.
Yeah.
He did.
With I wood. Just went to Home Depot.
He got some wood and drilled
it
together.
Wood's on the low price again. So, yeah, no, it's super fun. And then I was racing these guys, and for some reason, like, I lost them on the straight. Like,
for some reason, you were in last place?
Yeah, no, I'd lose them on the straightaways. It's because I had all the assists on, so I had to turn on ABS because I had brake assist, and then I had to, like, acceleration assist. Yeah, turn all that stuff off, man. If I want to fly into a wall...
I'm flying into a wall.
Yeah.
It defaults with all that on.
Yeah, so I had to, once I turned all that off, and then I did have to go in because every wheel's different, and I had to dial in the steering wheel. Once I got that dialed in, the game is incredibly fun. Like, I did that race with you, David, and then me and Mark did a race when we all three were playing after you hopped off.
Yeah, how was it? You guys jumped into real multiplayer.
I think I would rather play multiplayer than the campaign.
Multiplayer is where this game shines.
It's really fun. Like, actually, tomorrow I think I'm going to text you guys and say, hey, tonight everybody finished their three practice placement matches so we can all jump into a multiplayer.
You're the only one that hasn't finished that, Jordan.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll
text yourself.
Text yourself.
Even though we weren't on a team, although, David, I agree with you, it would be cool if we could be on a team.
Yeah, because
even though we weren't on a team, we kind of were, you know, like...
Shake and bacon?
Yeah.
Shake and bake, baby.
How is it with the steering wheel?
I feel it's something to get used to. I feel like in certain areas I'm worse, but in other areas, like if you're looking at the screen right now, turning like this, I think I'm super precise.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you know, it's a steering wheel. It feels good. Yeah. I think once I start getting into shifting, because David, you've gotten into shifting on the controller. I think once I start getting to shifting, I think that'll feel really good too, because it's just a car.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Do you have a shifter yet?
So I don't have a shifter, but the steering wheel has the shifting paddles.
I want you to get a shifter and then the big, tall e-brake.
No.
So you can drift.
The Formula One cars, they have paddle shifters. That's how real racers drive. Paddle shifters.
It could be argued that the real racers take to the streets.
It could be. Do you think you can buy a big one like that? Like, I've seen them. Shifters that you
get. Yeah, they're awesome.
They're like the jackpot shifters.
I just watched a Forza Motorsport drifter. He's getting into motorsport, testing out the drifting, and his setup was he had to actually map the controls.
The big handbrake.
But it's a big handbrake on there that he pulls.
That's hilarious.
And what's awesome is they wear gloves.
Yeah.
And I'm like, every wheel racer
I've seen wears a glove.
And there's a reason. It's because in the heat of the moment, your hands get sweaty and you don't want that.
Yeah. You don't want to ruin that nice leather on that wheel.
Spicy.
Yeah.
Forza, what do you think?
Oh, it's really good. There are things that, you know, I don't like as much.
Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of like a lesser simulator than the last motorsport we had. That's a word I just made up, but I feel like this is pulled back a little bit.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Probably pulled back for the masses, which I don't necessarily think is too bad of a thing. You're going to have your diehards that are going to be like, well, it's not what I want necessarily, because you have all these niche simulator games out there that probably do specific things more simulator-y.
Yeah.
But I feel like this, if you want this game to be as big as Forza is, you kind of have to appeal to a little bit more to the masses. However, you still can dial things back. They're just kind of buried a little bit in the settings.
Yeah.
There has been criticisms of how the upgrades work in cars.
Yeah, it seems like you either really like it or you don't.
I tend to swing to like it. And the reason I like it...
Yeah, I like it too.
Some of the hardest... Not hardest. In other Forza games, I got so many cars and I never knew which one to play. You know, there's so many cars that got left through the cracks essentially that I never got to experience because there's so many of them. And then you can instantly tune whatever you want by some online tune and stuff like that. To get these cars to peak performance, you have to get to know them. You have to play them.
You have to level them up.
You have to get experience. Yeah. You have to level them up. And I actually really like that because it gets me to know the cars a lot more and not just, oh, I don't know what that one, I don't know what that one is. Oh, this is an all-wheel drive. I'll take this one.
Yeah, exactly.
This I feel like every car that looks cool, I have to invest time into and understand and add the stuff that you need to, because you have to level it up and everything. And I think I'm okay with that. I think I like the idea of taking the time per car and not just being, here is a crap ton of cars. Here's all the barn finds. Here's all the stuff you can buy. Now you can just do whatever you want with whatever you want. This one, it's a simulator. You have to understand the car. You have to learn it. You have to. Every car feels different, and you have to upgrade it the way that you want. I kind of like that.
Yeah,
I kind of like that. I know that there's a discussion whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I think I like that because
it. Yeah, I get the criticism because it slows you down if you want to just go through stuff. It also.
But simulator games is not about the destination. I feel like simulator games are about the journey.
Yeah, I agree.
It is about the experience of each race, learning the technical turns. I mean, I spent the last week. I mean, I got a haircut this week, and I was talking. Our barber loves racing. He's he's a friend of the show. He loves and breathes racing. He has for a while. And I asked him, I'm like, okay, Blake, hear me out, buddy. I'm trying to understand racing lines. I know that I know the theory, I know the concept, but I am racing at a 109 at this specific, you know, race. And when I'm playing multiplayer and people are pulling out 106s and 105s, how are they pulling off these four seconds? 4 seconds is
That's a lot. I could tell you
in racing. And Blake was telling me that even the pros deal with this because they would, while they're racing, they'd be talking to their crew chief or whatever it is, and they'd be like, "Dude, how is Max going faster than me on these laps?" And they'll say, "He's attacking the corner harder on turn three. That's exactly how he's doing it. You got to do the same thing."
It's segments.
Yeah, and so I'm sitting there. I've been like staring at the wall this week, going, "Okay, so I have to attack it sooner. You know, you have to have your exit point sooner so you can speed up faster, learn these racing lines." What's interesting about that is it's dependent on your car as well and the speeds that these cars can hit and all this stuff. That's, in my opinion, the reason I'm bringing this up is that's how simulator games are for a person that likes simulator games. That's the mind. The mindset is these turns, how can I improve that? It's about the journey, not the destination. It's about self-improvement. It's about hitting the things at the apex that you want to hit.
Yeah, 1,000% agree with you. That's what I'm really enjoying about this game. I am slowly taking off assists, going more in that direction. I have almost, so my Drivatar difficulty is up to, I think 8 is the top, and I'm on 7 now.
You're on 7? Doing... Dude, you're so much better than me right now.
I'm on 7, but I don't even care about the Drivatar. I actually don't think the Drivatar difficulty is as difficult as past motorsports.
That's actually been a complaint that the Drivatars are idiots.
Yeah.
Yours is.
I don't
yours
think is they're,
an idiot, David.
Mine is.
I don't think they're taking the data anymore. Do you remember that was a big like thing when they first came out?
But what I'm doing is on all of my assists, I am, the only thing I have left at this point is the braking lines, and I just have braking lines. I don't have drive lines at all. My next step is to remove the braking lines. So I'm on manual. I've got all stability controls off, the whole shot. And that's one thing. By the way, when I turned off automatic, my times crashed. Like I took it in the chin. And you just got to get used to it, get to know it. But once you get used to it, that's the biggest time jump you'll see if you don't turn off anything is going manual, because you all of a sudden don't have to brake on turns because you can downshift and then you remain in a high. For instance, if I'm on fourth gear, I downshift to third gear. I have to tap the brakes left, but then I can come out of that turn way faster because I'm already up. I'm the high third gear, and I shift back down to fourth gear. Here's
a question for you. Should I just get used to manual now?
I would just get – it's a Band-Aid. You should rip – I would do it opposite. So I did it opposite where I took off all the other assists, and then I took off – I wish I would have done it backwards and just done manual from the start, get used to it with all assists on, and then slowly take those assists off.
Maybe I'll just start playing on
manual. I'm telling you, manual – manual, because you can you don't have to press the brakes. Like I'll press the brakes slightly, downshift, boom, I'm in
your
high
engine
third.
Blows.
Yeah. The other thing, Spicy, if you're on a controller, just turn off your thumbstick dead zones. I did that. It is a life changer.
Oh, that's genius.
Life changer.
Where do I do? Do I do that in the game or in the accessory?
Are you guys ever not going to be on controllers?
Wherever you're at, I'm going to be moving. Yeah, I've been doing research, baby. I'm going to be moving to a wheel eventually. Yes.
So you told me the other day.
I'm going Fantech wheel though.
You told me.
I want the motor inside of it. Have you seen the Fantech?
You told me the other day that most of the top players in Forza are on controllers.
So it's like
hold on.
It's like a 60-40.
What is the top player using? Because I don't care about most of the top players. I want to know what the winner's using.
Here's the thing. There's also different styles. It's the argument that we've had for a while. you can be top tier on any input device. It's just how you prefer. I think if you want that simulation feel, so if you're racing, with a wheel, most people, for instance, with their wheel go inside the car camera view. Most people on joystick controllers are in this view right here that Spicy's in.
Yeah, so. The third person view, I actually can't do it with the wheel because I don't feel like it matches. Like it's like a it plays with your mind. So, but no, I'll be honest, playing with the wheel, I think, has increased the fun of this game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like it really is. It's like when we played with the joysticks with Flight Simulator. Like, it's just, it was more, it's more immersive, but it's just, it feels better. Like,
What wheel do you have? The Logitech? What?
Geez, I just looked it up the other day because I bought it years ago. I think it's the 920 or something like that.
Okay. That's the one that's like the best wheel, like entry level wheel that you could get.
Yeah. So there's, is that like the newer one that came out? Because mine is the
923 is the newest.
Okay, one. Yeah. So mine's the one before that.
Yeah.
Which I believe is because I got
someone
this.
Someone correct me if I'm wrong.
I got this 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, maybe. Because I got it during Forza Horizon, the latest Forza Horizon, when they first announced Forza Motorsport. Because I'm like, I want to get a wheel because the Thrustmaster was so much fun on the flight
I'm
simulator.
I'm gonna build up mine. So I have been looking at. So there's this standalone cockpit that
I built my own.
That I can buy that attaches, like, it just goes in front of your chair. Well, I showed you it.
Oh, and yeah, your chair hooks onto it. Yeah, so you buy it in parts.
Yeah, but it's modular, so eventually I could get a seat for that cockpit, and then it becomes permanent. I forget the brand's name. It's a super popular brand.
Super expensive too.
But it's the steering wheel. I'm going Fantech, baby, big boy, CSL DD.
Double D.
Double D sounds like a good, it's a winner.
Yeah.
D squared.
I agree. If to Spicy's point about it not being as hardcore simulation, that's exactly what I said last week. I think if you've been hesitant to get into Forza Motorsport, this is the best time to get into it.
I think it's
built to introduce people to Forza Motorsport, and then you can dial it in on the back end and like what we're doing to try to make it more simulation light.
Would the David, you have braking
tech, that's what it's called. Yeah,
you know, David has the braking lines on, like the actual driving lines. Do they like pick the correct line for you racing, or those, like, you know what I mean? Because if you stay directly on those, will that be?
You bring up a good point, and this is the discussion I had with Blake.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There are many driving lines you can take.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
this is a driving line. This is a, there are many you can take for different reasons. It changes if there are more, if you're racing with somebody head to head right next to you, obviously a lot of variables change. The speed of your car changes. The line that is shown is not the best. It's not the worst. It is a line.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Anyways, I've been going down the rabbit hole and just learning.
Is the best thing to do is just pick one course and just race it over and over and over and over.
Well, that's why I get frustrated and not being able to go through the campaign until I was like, okay, I'm going to use these, because it forces you to do the practice. I'm going to use these practice before every race to start working on my skill level. Since I've shifted to that mentality, I'm so less impatient. It's all about, like Spicy said, it's all about honing your skills and utilizing that experience to hone your skills.
What's so great about the multiplayer too is I'm seeing racers that are good. I'm racing against good racers instead of, you know, the AI.
Yeah. Well, and we don't think they're cheating, right?
They're not.
No, like, it's not like in Horizon when you're like, the guy went 5,000 miles on this jump. And you're like, how did he? Yeah.
He's cheated. No, it's super cool to see that those times are possible. And I'm sure there's even way better times, but those times are possible because he's racing on the same track with you at the exact same time.
Yeah,
and it's like how that's what
in the same how, car.
Yeah. Well, what I like about the multiplayer, and I've started to dive into this, is you actually have to utilize the practice. So I utilize the practice, then I go in and I tune my car, and I mostly mess with the gear shift. So like you can put like at what level does gear one shift at your gearbox?
Okay,
and then you go one through six, let's say, and you tweak each one. And on the left-hand side, it shows you, are you getting faster, slower? What's the give and take? It's all trade-offs. And so I'll tweak it, and I can peel off. You
immediately go back
I can
in.
Peel off 4 seconds, 5 seconds sometimes in practice, to the point where if I don't tune it, I'm getting, 12th place.
Yeah, see, the only tunes.
If I do tune it, I'm getting 4th place. You know what I mean? Like, that's
the only tunes I've messed with is just fuel and tires, because it's like,
I was afraid to, but you can hit the reset button, and any adjustment you make, it tells you on the left-hand side what the result of that adjustment is. So it's really fun to just mess with.
So, like, in our first race, I bet you they tuned it.
Oh, yeah, they tuned it.
Yeah, 100%. And I've been looking at, like, tune theory.
Yeah, give me some tune theory, because I've not looked at any of that. I've literally just...
It really depends on the course and the car, right? Well, like,
from what I've read...
Does it have to do with, like... So, drive, so like rear wheel, front wheel, all wheel, plus engine placement, you tune, right?
It's end result stuff. So, it's like, what's priority? Okay, it's a line of priority. The research speed. I've been doing, priority one is control of the car. Priority one is...
Makes sense. Makes total sense.
Control. Yeah. Actually, the last thing was power. Like... speed, because you want to be able what's really important. Speed is important, but what's more important, and actually Blake again explain this to me, you win or lose races by the short turns, not the long stretches.
Yeah, because everybody, there's only so fast you can go. Everyone is right around, correct, the same.
And if you take off sooner, so if you make your turns better and take off sooner, you hit top speeds faster,
and that's
which means that's how you're gaining fractions of a second every time. So races are won or lost in the small turns of the race. And so that's why...
Races are won or lost in the bedroom. That's what I always say.
I don't know.
Pedro Rama says he's been with Fanatec for many years now. He says it's a rabbit hole, though. When you get into sims like iRacing or Assetto Corsa, I've heard Assetto Corsa is amazing. He says that's it, X1. That's it, David. No one hears from you anymore. I can imagine, because I can imagine that's like, even right now, every single night I'm racing, I'm like, gotta get better. I downshifted to shit. Gotta get better.
Just like a real driver.
Yeah, like that's it.
You know what they should do, like, as an expansion pack to Forza? They should add like a pit crew.
Like a pit crew mode?
No, like I would love to wear my headset.
Team mode?
David, you need to increase your pace.
Well, have you noticed? Yeah, like,
that would be so awesome. Cool, like, Jordan is beating you on turn 3. Yeah.
Well, like they have for Flight Simulator, where they have the air traffic control, yeah, exactly, like side games, but have it. Yeah. Have a pit.
That'd be a great mod.
And have you noticed how calm the person that talks to the driver? Because they have to be. Could you imagine?
Can you imagine if you yell at the guy
and you're like, "What are you doing?"
Well, the amount of focus that drivers have to do while they're driving
for 2 hours.
I think I learned this from the F1 show that's on Netflix.
Yeah, good show.
Only one person is allowed to talk to the driver via headset.
Yeah.
Only one person, because of how calm, like, he's having to make these decisions at like 4 G's.
Well, yeah, that's why.
Flexing the entire
time.
That's
why it's one thing that stood out to me when I first started watching that. First of all, it's always a British guy who's talking to you.
They must have, the science says that that's the most soothing voice.
I think it's because a quiet British man feels good to your ears.
It feels good in your ears.
And he's like, "All right, Mark, I think you've got a little soft on the tires there. Why don't you bring it in the next round?
Like, push it.
Like, okay.
Even when you're like trying to
Roger that.
Push it a little more.
All right, go for it. That's exactly. Push a little more. Okay, let's cool it off there. Let's cool it off there for a lap, shall we?
Yeah, can you imagine if like you did it like they yell like, "What are you doing?" Like on
now imagine like this high stress.
What are you, an idiot?
High stress. Like, and you're like,
that's when Red Bull ran into the back of the other Red Bull car.
Well, even when that happens, do you hear like the guy on the headset?
Yeah, they never.
Their response to them is always like,
"Did your best, mate. Bring it in.
I know you. Are you okay? Is everything okay? How's your systems look there? Are you looking pretty good?" Oh, no, they're dead. Shit, they're dead. Okay, that's okay.
Yeah, well, it's usually the driver that yells back. I've heard them say, "Just leave me alone."
Pedro says that exists on PC.
Oh, it does?
It's called
yes.
Crew Chief.
Are you kidding?
Awesome. Can we look it up? Yeah, yeah. Let's look that up real quick. That would be awesome.
Now, Pedro, is there peripherals to buy for Crew Chief? Like they have an F1, that big truck that they also have the computers and all the screens. And you can say that, that's actually super cool.
All right, can you bring it in?
Is that so? Is it what game does box, it go box, to? Box.
Crew Chief PC,
Assetto Corsa,
Crew Chief forums. Okay.
Oh, there it is. What is Crew Chief and how do you get it?
Where am I?
Oh, YouTube. Yeah.
Okay.
And just skip halfway through. I just want
to. Okay. I don't even understand what's going. Oh, okay. This is somebody.
It's definitely,
I'll
like,
pull it up so people.
It's definitely
can see.
Like flight simulator or like the air traffic control thing. You got to know the.
We're watching a guy. Walk through.
Wait, is that it or is that him just installing it?
Is it like installing it? Let's go like.
This is the walkthrough. It's a walkthrough of it. Oh, huh, yeah, this is.
Yeah, that doesn't look like what it looks like.
Well, it's like giving you all your readings?
Yeah.
No, is this how to, get it? Fast forward even more. Let's
yeah,
see.
There's got to be something else. Like, because you got to see the racer. You got to see the. There we go. Looks, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no. He's so racing. Now he's racing. So is there a crew chief talking to him?
Probably. I guess we'd probably have to watch.
Yeah, we probably have the racing end because everybody
that's
wants to be the driver.
That's fascinating, though. I think that's awesome that this exists.
Dude.
Well, man, that's like wanting to have a battle commander.
I gotta get driving. I gotta get driving gloves. I'm gonna order some off of Amazon after the show. Yeah. It'll be here by tomorrow.
Can I tell you what I ordered off Amazon that didn't come, so I canceled it?
Yeah, you actually, I think Amazon, like,
I think I've got like a target on my back.
They do, yeah. Like Amazon. You've had bad luck with Amazon.
Always.
Amazon gave me money one time.
$119. I got myself for the Prime Big Day deals the 1 terabyte out of my own pocket. The 1 terabyte
out of my own hard-earned,
my own hard-earned allowance that I script and saved for
years.
1 terabyte expansion, NVMe for the Xbox Series X. Super excited. Same day delivery. Boom. Done. Yes, it'll be here by 10 p.m. between 6 and 10 p.m. Next day, looks like it got delayed. It will be here between 6 or 10 p.m. that day. The next day after that, still not here, says it may be lost. You can cancel. You can get a refund if you want.
It may be lost?
That's what it said. Like, it may be lost. Literally, when you hit the track button on day one or day two, it tells me it's out for delivery. How can it tell me it's out for delivery, yet it's lost?
I know how.
Maybe it's one of those.
The driver missed the deal.
You ever
had to take it from you?
Yeah, you ever see those videos on YouTube where like the FedEx truck tries to make it through the railroad but tags the trailer? Yes. I bet you that's what happened. Yeah, because that sounds like out for delivery, and then
so I was like,
and then
you know
maybe
what?
Lost. I mean, it's either lost or it's not.
So I was like, you know what? I'm out. I hit that cancel button.
I've actually had nothing.
Got my refund.
I've had nothing but incredibly great luck with Amazon, and they actually even gave me money one time. $25.
But doesn't that kind of stuff always
$25?
If I need something,
they bought me several pickles.
There has been multiple times where I've needed something.
It was a gift card, but they gave it to me like them. It was great.
And the only reason I get it is because it's same day or next day. That's the only reason, because I need it by a certain time. I'm like, okay, I'll just get it. And whenever I need that or make that decision, that item, everything else arrives on time that I don't need. But that item where it's critical and the only reason I bought that specific item because I need it by a certain time doesn't come on time.
Yeah, I've never had that issue. Everything I've ordered.
I've had that issue.
Yeah, my profile must be elevated.
Well, I've ordered something and it's come in like less than 2 hours and it blew my mind.
Well, we got it. For those of you that don't know.
There's also like
we have two distribution centers, one north of us and one south of us. So
we're
it's
right
great.
In the middle.
Actually, when Dave and I went on our trip to Scotland, we were discussing moving there, and one of the cons was no 2-day delivery. For Amazon.
That was probably big on the list. That
we were
would be
like,
big on my list.
There's no 2-day delivery.
Internet.
For the record, Scotland. The other reason is ice. Okay. Also, when I go to a restaurant, give me fountain drinks. Don't give me a can. Well, I won't move back to California either. No Skittles. I'm out.
California has paper straws too. I was just there.
Everyone moved to paper straws, which has been my gripe for forever.
I have never.
Well,
have you
seen the paper straw wrapped in plastic? Now that one's funny.
Mine was.
That one's hilarious.
Was wrapped in plastic. And you're it was like, on a Slurpee. Do you know how disgusting a Slurpee is with a paper straw? It's not possible to even drink it.
You know, it's fair.
But the thing is there's better, like, who thought paper?
Well,
like,
yeah, no, fair point here. Is it Mobetta's? I think it might be Mobetta's. They moved to, like, a plant-based straw.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, as long as it's bamboo.
Rigid. Yeah, no, I don't know what it is, but it's bamboo. Yeah, it's sturdy. It's like, oh, okay, this is a real straw. All right, I can use this.
After my trip to California a couple weeks ago, I called David and I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get one of those, like, cigar cases, you know, those bronze, like, nice cigar cases, just for straws for when I go to California, and I will have my nice plastic straw, pull it out, be like, whoop.
Cigarette cases, that's what I want, that you flip open and it whoosh, and that's what, and you go, would you like a straw? Would you like a straw? Yeah.
Genius.
Our movie theater, so Utah doesn't have those stupid laws. That's right, it's stupid. If you live in California and you think I'm wrong, don't at me. Because I'm not wrong.
Well, half of California.
So Utah doesn't have those laws, so you don't have to, thank God, we don't have to deal with paper straws, except for my favorite movie theater in Utah, which is a local movie theater, has plastic or paper straws, and they suck. So you know what I do? If you ask for the Slurpee straw at the movie theater, it's still the plastic Slurpee straw. So that's what I do when I go to the movie
theater. That is the most manly of the straws.
Yeah, it's the long.
It's got a spoon at the end.
Spoon.
Well, yeah. You know what I'm going to do, and probably their point, is I just bring my own metal straw now.
Yeah, the metal straws are legit. Yeah. Restaurants, I appreciate a restaurant. Home. I appreciate a restaurant when they have those metal straws. Those are legit.
Well, I mean, I just bring my own.
Yeah, that's legit.
And just throw it in there. Yeah, you get different colors. It's great.
What's the diameter of your metal straw?
I'm sure they come in different sizes, but it feels... Because
what did you guys tell me?
It feels like it's probably slightly tinier than your traditional. It's not as big as a Slurpee straw.
No, I like to work. I like to work when I suck. Get your food. Give yourself a little cheek workout.
Yeah. You know what I was watching? Loki season 2. Did anybody watch the first season?
Something about it just didn't interest. Is it good? Like, it's, I'm not against watching.
So
it.
Far, it's pretty good.
Is it good?
You know, so far it's pretty good. There's two episodes, but
I've never seen the first. Season.
The second episode, they go back to the 80s. And they're at a McDonald's in the 80s, and it looks like they, like, really studied what McDonald's was like with the 80s, with including the food that's there and everything, and they bring it out, and it's like, and I told my wife, I was like, I actually bet you if you were to go back in time, the food at McDonald's in the 80s was superb. Like, it looked good. Mm. I was like, damn.
I don't think they even had, did they have a Big Mac in the 80s?
I don't know, but I bet you.
I'm gonna have to rewatch The Founder.
It was delicious, then.
The Founder, you're right. You got to.
Bet you it was delicious.
I bet you it was too. Do we still have Szechuan sauce? Is that like?
It was like limited thing.
Yeah, they do that like every time Rick and Morty mentions it.
The McDonald's by our house freaking sucks. Like, just it does. Period. Also, the Wendy's by our house freaking sucks too. It just does.
The one that way is much better than the one that way. There's
point,
two.
Yeah. Wait, point again.
The one that way is much better than the one
with McDonald's.
That way.
The McDonald's and Wendy's South is
superb. Well, to be fair, and I apologize if you're a fan of the show and you work there, but
they're all franchises, and whoever owns these franchises next to us,
Jordan's going to mention teenagers.
He's
such an old man.
It's just like
but he's not wrong.
Yeah, like, hey, man, I get, okay, yeah, it sucks. You work at fast food. I worked at fast food, but like, work.
Hey, but you're a teenager, bitch.
Like, hey,
you want my job? You want to make my money? Work at McDonald's for a few years first, you little millennial.
You guys are such old men.
Yeah. Well, and it's like,
how about you serve me with a smile?
Yeah.
Teenage punk.
No, it is. It's like, guys,
teenage
come on.
Teenage punk, you're not old enough to hate your wife yet. You come at me with,
well, let me in. I don't want to drive through. Let me in.
No, versus it's older people that work at the McDonald's to our south. That's superior, better.
Do you want to know? I'm just going to say this. Do you want to? This happened at this McDonald's.
Well, here.
McDonald's better.
Those are
McDonald's. Remember that McDonald's would not let you eat inside because they couldn't get people to work there. Their manager just left one night. Remember,
I pulled up once and they said, "No, we're not going to do anything." I'm like, all right, see ya.
Yeah, that franchise is not doing a good job of managing
it. I legitimately got upset at that McDonald's, and they probably spit in my food. But I go in, or I go through the drive-thru.
Here's the thing.
And I order a Big Mac.
Can we pause for everyone new? Jordan knows fast food menus and what exactly to get. Like, he has fine-tuned. Like, we're talking about fine-tuning your driving. That's what he's done with fast food. Jordan knows
it. He's the professional wine taster of fast food.
Yeah, when I'm going to a place, I'm like, Jordan, what do I get here? And he will tell you.
Well, no, but this has like nothing to do. Like, this is weird. This McDonald's over here, man. It's terrible.
Yeah.
So I'm in there. I have two kids in the car. They're getting Happy Meals. I'm getting a Big Mac. Right. We pull up. I'm just ready. It's one of those things. Like, the day is over. We're going home. We just need to get the Happy Meals and my food, and let's leave. I hand the guy my card. And before he takes it, he goes, "Hey, sir, can I ask you a question?" And I said, "Sure," thinking it's about my order. And he goes, "Do you know what a neo-Nazi is?" And I'm like,
"Wait, he asked you that?"
Yeah, I'm not even kidding. And I'm like, I swear to you, a good 45 to 50 seconds went by where I'm just sitting here like this,
staring at him blankly. Yeah, do you? Yeah.
I'm like,
what did he say?
Well, I can't remember what I said. I said, I don't know what I was something like, yeah, but I'm here to get a Big Mac and two Happy Meals.
Yeah, let me ask you something. Hey, let me ask you something. Like, flip it on him. Yeah. Let me ask you something. Have you been saved?
You've been saved?
Yeah. And I'm sorry, yeah. And then I remember he was like,
religion on him.
He was like, It was the only time.
What did he say though? Did he continue? No,
because he said, so he was like, oh,
was he like trying to be funny?
No, he like grabbed my card. No, he was serious. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm just, I saw it on the news and I just wanted to know. And then he was like doing my thing. And I'm still sitting there like this. And I'm like, you can hear my kids in the car yelling, "What's the toy this week?" You know, like
that. Have you heard of Prisoner's Dilemma?
Yeah, I'm sitting here like,
is one of the most epic conversation starters I have ever heard. Conversation starter and ender in one moment.
It was the only time I ever thought in my life, legitimately, there is a time and a place. And a two Happy Meals and a Big Mac is not the time for that particular conversation in the drive-thru. Like,
mind if I ask you a question before I
get here? At least he was so polite.
Yeah. Yeah. Mind if I ask you a question? I guess. Who did you vote for?
I don't think I was mean, but I think I remember saying, yes, but I ordered a Big Mac and two Happy Meals. And then that.
How old was he?
Probably, like, if not in high school, just out
you
of high.
You think he was
school.
Trying to be funny?
I don't know what he was trying to do. One time the high schools were trying to be funny, and then they see your reaction, they're like, oh.
Yeah, no, that one, like, again, it comes down to management. The reason that McDonald's is bad, same thing. I refuse. That McDonald's is, what, 2 minutes from our house?
It's, yeah.
The other one is 15 minutes from our house. I drive to that
it's
one.
True. Yeah. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They know their stuff. They actually even remember customers
there. JW, that's a great response. No, does it come with fries? Yeah,
do you know what a neo-Nazi is? No, does it come with fries?
No, but can I supersize it?
Hey, maybe it was a new menu item there. I don't know. Yeah.
What are you? We're trying out a new menu item.
It was one of those things where you're like,
think about if you own that McDonald's, though. I'm firing that kid on the spot if I knew that happened. Like, I'm sorry. Like,
But the problem is a lot of teenagers, I know a lot of employers, a lot of them don't want to work. Like
But here's the thing. I go to Chick-fil-A.
Actually, their Chick-fil-A has good employees.
I go to In-N-Out.
That's fair, and they're teenagers, and they're good employees.
In-N-Out, though, they're older. Chick-fil-A legit is teenagers, but In-N-Out is always like college students.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, I think it's, yeah, I don't know.
That's a good point, David.
Yeah.
Also,
one city over, McDonald's, I never have an issue.
I go to that McDonald's, and I'm fine. This one, though, since it's opened, has been terrible. Yeah. Terrible. Like, it's whoever manages it. They must not lose money because of the convenience. There's tons of apartments there. Like, it's in a really good location.
Yeah, it's high density.
I've never thought of it. That is a good conversation start. Like, if you just use that to start something out.
Just straight up, because that's like that's a power move. Yeah. That is something.
He did say it was like I was just
I don't know what yeah.
No, that's have you like, heard of the War of 1812?
Oh man.
It's a Big Mac?
Like, just what? Right out of nowhere. Right out of page whatever in his history book.
Okay, before we leave, since we're on fast food,
Yeah, I mean, it should
one of the best fast food items I have, most delicious I have ever had, and also one of the worst is a Whopper. I have had from Burger King the Whopper. When you get a good Whopper,
it's amazing.
It is amazing.
When you get a bad one, it's I am never eating here ever again.
Yeah. And I have had from the same Burger King.
There's the dynamic range of that burger is huge.
Yet there's no consistency. And
there's no in between. Yeah. I've never had like, it was an all right one.
It's an HDR burger. From it's high dynamic range of flavor dependent on how long it's been sitting on the shelf.
Yeah, from the same place. Like, I don't understand.
Our Burger King's actually closed down.
Did that one close down?
Yeah, so this one closed down, and then there's one further north. I went to...
Yeah, I see commercials for them all the time.
Well, no. I think
where are these magical Burger Kings?
I think it was a management issue.
Yeah, it's the danger of... I think what McDonald's has done correctly, same like a Starbucks has done it. It's why Starbucks has had so much success. That consistency, no matter where you're at in the world, it's the same. Burger King has not mastered that.
Besides,
they are that
intense political questions in the drive-thru. I mean, that was a once-off. Yeah.
That's funny. Now, I think the burger. You got to understand. Let's realize though how impressive that is to have the same burger taste so good and so bad with the same ingredients.
From the same location.
From the same. That's actually impressive.
Yeah. And I feel like this is actually all Burger Kings. Like it's not just like our location. I've been to other Burger Kings where fantastic Whopper.
Dude, a Whopper?
Like a Whopper Jr.
Whopper.
And then you go back and you're like,
I put it up there. It's delicious.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
It is. It's
when it hits, it hits.
Well, I would say like even this Chipotle we have that way.
Yeah.
Because there's a Chipotle we have that way now, I think. But the Chipotle we have that way is that's hit or miss for me, too.
I'm not a Chipotle. It's been really good. I'm not a Chipotle man, though.
Hasn't Chipotle like been in the news for like multiple health issues?
Probably.
But yet they still progress.
Let's be fair. That's Mexican food. You know, I mean, there's been a lot of.
True. Some of the best Mexican food will kill you.
It is what it is. I mean, I know Mexican food has added 60 pounds to my physique.
Dude.
Yeah. That food you had the other week.
Yeah, that was delicious. That was
good stuff.
That was like a fusion.
Oh, yeah.
You fuse all you want with those ingredients.
Yeah, that's, fusion that's, food is my favorite.
That's Mexican food truck style.
Is it, though? I think it depends on
but
the
But that
fuse.
Was like Mexican
gourmet. High dining food truck.
Because they also had burgers.
Yeah, that was true. They have a really
it's
good
It's like
menu.
A fusion. Yeah, it's very good. Mm. All right, let's get out of here.
This podcast is about games, right?
We're on food. Yeah, this is an Xbox podcast.
We're probably hungry. Games. There
you go. Burger King used the Xbox 360.
Yeah, that was fun. Where he would like hide and then surprise you with the burger.
Everybody, I thank you very much for tuning in. We do not have a member show because we got started late tonight. Anytime we have to get started late, we just don't do the member show that week. But we do have a members behind the scenes Baldur's Gate Let's Play that is dropping. So stay tuned for that one. It was a doozy this week. For everybody who supported us, thank you for your support. Thank you for being here. Rate, review, and subscribe to us everywhere. And we'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye, everyone. I'm looking